What's up and welcome back to the Kind of Funny screencast. Of course, I'm Tim Geddes and I'm joined by, it's Christmas in September, Joey Noel.
I forgot I was muted. Hello, good morning.
Good morning to you. And joining us as well, the Nitro Rifle, Andy Cortez.
I'm glad that I'm one of two people on this show with a little sleepy voice.
You got that sleepy voice? You got
a little
that
nice sleepy little... voice. Yeah, a little sleepy voice. Yeah, it takes me a while to warm up. It takes me a while to warm up. You know, it takes a while.
Yeah. And rounding out the group for the first time on this show, the big daddy himself, Greg Miller.
Hello, Timothy. How are you?
I'm good. And you are finally wearing a Portillo hat. That makes me really happy. I don't think you I've seen you wear this on content.
You know what a hat means usually, right, for Greg Miller? What's hungover or didn't shower. Sometimes both.
Oh, yeah.
But now that Ben's here, it's pretty much always I didn't shower. I did not.
Yeah.
That's just how that works.
This is why, well, I mean, every weekend photo you see of me, I'm in a hat because it's usually woke up and was right into it. Right to a farmer's market, right to send an Indian voice memo.
It is. I mean, maybe it's just like psychosomatic in my head, all this, but it's like, you look like a dad. And it's like, you used to look like a dad when you wear the hat, but it's like, you now, wow, the transition has happened. And it is
like, you know, I'm Mr. Mom in it over here, right? Where, mm-hmm. you know, Jen's out of town. She's up on a work trip. So, you know, I had the night shift all by myself. I woke up this morning with Benny. We went out. I packed his breakfast. We went out on the town, went to the grocery store because Grandma Jay's coming in today. Then we got back here. Nanny got here, dropped Ben with her. Then I came down here, watched She-Hulk, build Kind of Funny Games Daily. Stayed up late last night. Not even late. Just worked late last night, getting PS I Love You and Kind of Funny Games Daily ready so I could do all that today. But then I got to make lunch and make sure there's food for Mom when she gets here. But then, of course, once that's all done, I got to do that show. And then I moved the show so that I could make sure that I could do PS I Love You so I could still see Mom when she got here because I didn't want Mom to get here. And I'm going to make steak tonight.
Steak. Okay. We got some cross-generational responsibilities. I love it. You're taking care of your mom and your son. That's weird.
Right. That's right. Yeah. And the one thing, well, Kevin, I haven't figured out is when I'm going to bring her to the studio. So you will have to figure that out because I know that like walls have gone up. Last time she was here, it was a giant empty garage. Now I'm aware there is a wall up and I want to see show her the fact that, hey, a wall has gone up. Even though we're targeting 2025, a wall has gone up.
Let me know. I'm always ready to give a tour.
You're always ready to unlock the door. I know.
Of course, this is the Kind of Funny screencast. We do it multiple times a week now on youtube.com/kindoffunny and roosterteeth.com. Excuse me.
Jesus. Roosterteeth.com.
This cough sucks, y'all. It really sucks. It gets me when I least expect it. Now, before it was just the snakes I had to worry about, you know? Mm. Now it's like they're inside me. They're trying to get out from the inside.
Yeah. Oh. The snakes are trying to get out from the inside.
Yeah, dude. I don't know how they got in there. I didn't want to ask questions. But I don't think it was from my top parts.
Oh,
you know what?
Jesus, stop listening to these. That's Nick and Greg level. You're better than that. You're
it went better in my butt. It went in my butt, you guys. You'd also get it as a podcast by searching your favorite podcast service for Kind of Funny Screencast, and we'll be right there for you. If you wanted to get this show live as we record it, if you wanted to get it ad-free, if you wanted to be a Patreon producer, just like Fargo, Brady, and Molecule, you're going to want to go to patreon.com/kindoffunny, where you can do just that. Today we're brought to you by ExpressVPN and Chime, but first I want to tell you a little housekeeping. Again, screencast popping off right now. We are doing so much. We have She-Hulk going on right now. We have Lord of the Rings, Rings of Power. We have Game of Thrones, Hot D, House of the Dragon, all going right now. And in a few short weeks, we will be doing Andor as well. So four screencasts a week, potentially. It's going to be wild. And then in addition to that, In Review is about to be really cool. We're doing two In Reviews next week, returning to two of our favorite franchises of all time. One of them, Clerks 3, Greg. It's happening. It is next week.
It must stick in your fucking craw that IGN gave it an 8 out of 10 today, huh? That must really piss you off, Tim, because I've never met somebody who wants Clerks to die more than you. Andy, don't even listen to this clown. Best trilogy ever.
Well, I was going to say, well, I'm next on the list.
But in addition to Clerks 3, tonight, as of recording this, at midnight, the world will change once again. When Cobra Kai season 5 comes out, and we will be doing.
How do you guys want Black Adam?
I literally, my asshole clenched. I'm like, did we fuck up and not get Black Adam tickets? Am I going to miss the hierarchy of power in the DCEU change forever?
In addition to that, speaking of that, actually, there's a whole bunch of stuff happening in the next couple of days that I don't know exactly how we're going to cover. So stay tuned to twitter.com/kindoffunnyvids for updates on how we're going to cover all the D23 stuff happening. I heard that there's a Black Adam trailer that might drop at some point. There's like the Knives Out trailer just came out. I don't know what's going to happen, but stay tuned.
YouTube.com. Tim, this is an entertainment property show, mm-hmm. So I feel like I can ask you, do you buy into these rumors that at like MCU D23, they're going to announce Henry Cavill and a bunch of other jabronis?
I mean, it's 50-50, honestly. At this point, there's rumors that it must be real, and then there's a bunch of people that are just trying to get clout on the internet saying anything that sounds like it possibly could be real. I'm giving it all a 50-50 at this point.
There's going to be 15 Reed Richards ready to go. All right, if I need mm-hmm. to, if we need to celebrate his move to the MCU, I'm ready to pop some Pez, Joe.
Can't think of anything more celebratory than Pez.
The pop of Pez, baby. I say this every time we get close to a big Marvel announcement thing, but my like all chips in on the table, let's go big dreams and hopes. Tom Holland comes out. They sign a big deal, not just for Spider-Man, but for all the Sony stuff being co-developed by Marvel. They can fix it. Kevin Feige can do it. But speaking of Kevin Feige, today we are talking about She-Hulk episode 4, baby. Now, me, Joey, and Andy have all given our thoughts on the show in different ways over the last couple weeks, but Greg Miller's joining us for the very first time. Greg Miller, what have you thought of She-Hulk thus far, and what do you think of episode 4?
Thus far, I don't want to include this episode, because thus far I have liked, not loved She-Hulk. I enjoy my time in it. I laugh at it. And I bounce from it. You know what I mean? I am one of the people who doesn't get hung up on it, but it does take me out of it of sometimes how the CG looks and stuff like that, where I'm like, yeah, and I understand, of course, do I want them to paint this woman green? No. So it's like, it's gotta be what it's gotta be. But the jokes hit for me and stuff. I wish personally, especially for it being MCU and not being a comic book, cause I read the occasional She-Hulk comic book growing up. I remember grabbing those. Like, for them breaking the fourth wall as much as they did, I wish they'd given us a little explanation of that. I wish she had said when she got the powers and made the comment to us and Hulk looked at her and all that stuff. Like, there should have been I wish there was just a moment, a line of like, yeah, I break the wall, or I'm not Deadpool, or like, cause it's like, I understand, like, in my day-to-day life, as everybody who has listened to me for these 15, almost 16 years now knows, Joey, I podcast in my head. So you want to, there's an excellent chance that I am fiction for someone out there in another universe, and they're reading me and I'm talking to the camera, or they read me, and that makes sense, but I don't know it. She knows it, right? Because like when, you know, Hulk, it was like, you know, I'm a different person, literally. And she went, ha ha. That's a funny joke. But then I call it Joey, a noodle scratchel. Cause I'm sitting there and I'm like,
good old noodle
scratchel. I'm so fucking tired. Scratching that noodle. And going like, wait, so like, she knows about our, it's like, so is it, and it's like, I don't mind, I get over it, it's fine, it is what it is, it's a comedy Marvel show, which I appreciate quite a bit. All that said, right, I've enjoyed it, I look forward to it. Jen and I watch it usually every Thursday night and have a great time. This episode I thought this was the best episode so far. I thought this is the one of like, cool, we've done all the work, you understand how we are, and this is like the, I like this, hey, here's an episodic serial lawyer show of She-Hulk, right? And it was like, fuck, this is great. Donnie Blaze? Are you fucking kidding me? And it's the suits guy from Entourage. I was like, yeah, this guy's always been dope. And then this Donnie Blaze bit is hilarious, and his partner's hilarious. And like, I just thought this is the one that hit it all the way through. I mean, I wrote down a bunch of notes for it, right? And like, you know, this is the one where I think Wong popping up and being like, Donnie Blaze is going to pay for this. And then we get the intro and jump right to Jennifer, right? She's like, oh, you look happy. It's cool that Wong's back. He's Twitter armor. I'm like, fuck, this is so good. Like, what a great, like, now, like, again, I've settled into, this is just what it is. This is what their fourth wall is, and da da da. And I'm like, fuck, that's great. And I just had a great time with this episode. I thought it was really funny. I thought it was really good. And then, to my point earlier, like, her and Wong fighting the demons, that I think is the best She-Hulk has ever looked in the show. Where I was like, oh, damn, in motion, doing superhero-y stuff, this looks really good. It's when she's sitting there typing at a computer or just having a conversation, and I'm like, man, not that it's, you know, a huge turnoff, but I'm like, man, I had a great time with this episode. I love this episode.
Greg, you should go back and watch. Yeah, shout out to Wongers for sure. You should go back and watch our last couple screencasts, because I have some theories on the fourth wall breaking that are kind of fun. Don't want to tell you now, because we need the views.
I've said it before. I need to let you know. I will never watch Kind of Funny content. All gotcha. Right? I listen to the X-Cast just to hate Paris Lilly, and that's what I do.
I gotta let you know, Greg, like I was prepared for much deeper of an insult towards me than just you not listening to Kind of Funny content there. So I appreciate it. I appreciate it.
That's I love you, Tim. You know I listen to content, but yeah, I have not caught up on Screencast.
Joey Noel, what'd you think of this episode?
Yeah, I think so far this is my favorite one too. It is nice to be through like a lot of the like, hey, let's introduce you to everything in this world and how it's gonna work. And now it like feels like a full-fledged show. Yeah. I think it's interesting too because in this episode, Madison totally worked for me as like a character that made me laugh in a way that the Asgardian woman from the Megan Thee Stallion episode absolutely did not work for me. I was like, oh, there was something about her character. And I know that those are like, I think polarizing because I think a lot of people aren't going to like her in this, but I thought she was super funny. I loved the her and Wong dynamic. I loved like the weird, I'm going to spoil all these TV shows for you and stuff like that. Like she was a really fun like moment of levity. And I like it's all of these side characters.
At no point am I angry at the show or whatever, but it's funny because in my notes it popped up and I was like, oh shit, he's watching Sopranos on HBO Max. And I was like, all right, season 5, episode 12. I'm like, oh man, Jen and I left off somewhere in episode or season 4. Oh, we're going to get back to it. Like, yeah, it was ready to kill Adriana. I was like, fuck, all right, well, fair enough. I had that coming. That's on me. That's on me.
I know. Out of all the places you would expect for Sopranos to get spoiled for you, She-Hulk is probably not what you would have expected.
She was great though. Madison was great. And it was the same thing where she popped up and you're like, all right, just drunk girl on stage. Like I get it, and I did like the, you know, what is it, two N's and a Y, but not one thing.
God damn!
Funny. And then she came back in the corner, was like, "All right." And then the stinger, I was like, "Fuck yeah!"
So good. I think the dating stuff was really fun. I continue to really, really like her paralegal assistant, whose name I forget every single week, and I always wish we get more of her. But I guess in the grand scheme of things, I want more of this character than like, holy fuck, there's too much of this character. So yeah, I'm glad that we finally got some reference to Titania again after weeks of just where is she?
And I think that's another funny bit, right? Not only the whole delivery thing of special, I know a processor when I see it, and then is that really your opinion, Your Honor? And she shuts the door. But like in general, I like that way of like this is how she's going to be a villain to her. Of like the next thing is like, well, now she's going to sue for the name.
Yeah, I always keep forgetting too that it's 9 episodes because I was getting worried. I was like, oh, they're like, can you have a fulfilling arc with Titania if we haven't seen her this long? But I guess we still have like 5 episodes left. So I will be interested in seeing what a villain in a sitcom version of all of this looks like, because it's very non-traditional, obviously, for MCU as with everything in this show. But yeah, I had fun.
Andy.
Yeah, I freaking love this episode. Like I've really enjoyed, I'm right with Joey on this one. I'm pretty much identical to Greg, where I have really, really liked this show, and I think Tim said it perfectly the first time I was on, I guess that was last week, regarding the chip damage comedy, where it's just, you know, death by a thousand little funny jokes that are just really, really, they still stick with you, and they're nothing that you're gonna, you know, absolutely crack up over, but I think this episode really showed off its comedic chops in the best way possible. I think Tatiana Maslany is like fucking perfect. I think she just nails every line in this show and in this episode in particular. I'd say my least favorite part was the demons in the throwing that stuff. I found myself not really caring about the danger or threat that was. I think it sort of presented a funny problem to interrupt that date. But I just kind of wanted to see here get back to the date. You know what I mean?
See, I kind of liked it about that, where I was like, you know, even though the demons were creepy or whatever, they weren't like eating people or breaking out. And it wasn't this giant thing in New York. They contained it to one room and they were just annoying. They won't die.
Yeah, I guess it was just like I don't know. I enjoyed the episode. And if that didn't happen, I would have totally loved the episode.
Gotcha.
I think it was just more of like the comedic angle they were trying to go at it with. But I loved Donnie Blaze. Madison is like, it's while watching Madison's character, I was just thinking like, you know what? I miss Nick, because I know that he would love to talk about this character.
God.
Because like, I was fucking cracking up at everything that she said. I thought her portrayal of this just drunk valley girl was just so perfect. I think the comedic writing in the show is just like top tier, like level type stuff that you would want to see. And it's It's a different type of comedy that I think we've seen in the MCU, because it is more sitcom. It is more, you know,
they're leaning
kind of
into it, right? Yeah, it's not just like a side aspect of it. It is.
Yeah. But it also just kind of feels like I'm watching like Modern Family or New Girl or something. Like there's just like these little lines of dialogue that just kind of hit you that really, really work. And I thought the writing was fantastic. Everything about Wongers and the fucking post credit scene of so her asking him about all the alcohol. Like, I don't think they have bought, like, I'm just like laughing at everything that's being said. And I think like this show, this episode showcased their comedic chops and like, hey, we're really fucking good at this. And this is why you should be loving this show. I laughed so hard at when she becomes She-Hulk for the Tinder thing, and then she's like, wow, this is going to be really sad for Jen. Like her,
this is a blow to Jen's
confidence. This is a blow to Jen. Yeah, like, God, I cracked up so hard at that. I'm with Greg, though. Like, I would love to, like, throughout all of this, just on my own time, in the similar way that we've all kind of wanted to re-rank our own personal rankings for, like, Pixar, or, like, our own personal rankings for Marvel.
The first time.
I want to go through like every scene where She-Hulk is on screen and rank its level of quality because it's such a range. I like her walking in the office in that in that daylight, for whatever reason, the lighting and the color matching just doesn't work. And it looks really, really bad. It looks like, and also it's because of her, the something about the suit or whatever and her stature. Somebody pointed out on TikTok that it looks like an NBA 2K cutscene, and they absolutely nailed it, because it really looks like a 2K cutscene when you're in the front office and they're like, hey, what's up, new player in the street? We're going to sign you to a contract.
That's
it looks
so
really, really
fucking
awkward.
Accurate. And that's probably, you know what, Andy, that's probably a big reason why the fight scene works for so well for me, is that it's getting back to that, like, she was in the dress, right? So we saw her arms more, whereas, she looks so blocky in the suit, which the assistant makes a so comment blocky. About. Clearly, they're eventually going to make her or get her into like a better looking She-Hulk outfit or whatever. But fuck, that probably is a great reason of why I just like, yes, she does look like fucking GM of the Bulls or whatever in NBA.
But in other sequences where she is just talking near the camera, like, goddamn, there are some shots where it's just, is that just her in makeup with like a wig now? Like, I know it's not, but there are some shots that are just so damn convincing. And I think a lot of it is just a product of getting her in certain lighting that matches better with the way the textures kind of work off of the hair and the face. And there are some shots that are absolutely phenomenal and some shots that just look really, really terrible. And this episode starts off looking really, really terrible. And I'm like, oh, damn, all the budget's gone. Here we go. This is what the rest of the show is going to be. But then we see her in much better lighting when she's in the bar doing all the dating scenes. And yeah, there might be some weird kind of deformations in her mouth when she's talking, but everything in the bar or in the apartment, all those shots were just really, really nicely composed, and the rendering was just phenomenal. I keep on blabbering, but this show's like fucking great. It's junk food, and I don't feel like I've ever kind of wasted time, even though this isn't hinting towards some massive twist. Yeah, this isn't like, oh, dude, well, you got to watch She-Hulk for the fucking.
You're not
going to
understand Ant-Man
arc.
And Quantumanium if you don't watch She-Hulk.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, I feel like that's what's kind of kept me into a lot of Marvel shows that I haven't necessarily been interested, where it's like, well, I still got to watch it in case blah, blah, blah happens. I'm just having a blast with this show so far.
Yeah.
Tim, what do you think?
It's funny you bring up the junk food thing, because like, to me, this I feel similar to it, but like, I think even in a more positive way, where this is like eating ice cream.
Oh, totally positive.
Oh, yeah, no, I know, but I'm taking it, like, I think even more positive, where, like, to me, it's eating ice cream for dinner, which you don't do all the time, but every once in a while, we've been there, and it happens, and you're like, you know what? I got everything I wanted out of that experience, and it happens because I ate a breakfast, I ate a lunch that were real food, right? Yeah. I watched Endgame, I watched all these other things, but every once in a while, it's nice to just get the good stuff, just get the stuff, the little extra things that aren't actually giving me the nutrients I need, but are just making me happy. And I feel like this show was created to make Tim Geddes happy. There is all the chip damage jokes that you're expecting. And one of my notes as I was watching this episode, I was like, it's rarely, if ever, hysterical. And then They had the Madison two N's, one Y, not what you think. Then they repeated it. And both those things, chip damage funny to me. Get my type of humor, thought it was very funny. But the shot of the lawyer, when she spells her name correctly, and you see him like, oh, damn it, and like scratch it out. That is one of the funniest things I've seen this year. That was fucking hilarious. And I was like, you know what? I'm not giving this show enough credit for how actually funny it is, mm-hmm. on top of all the Marvel stuff that it's delivering to me. Like, this is playing with the MCU, playing with the sandbox, the characters in a way that I could only dream of a show doing. Like, this is, we always talk about comic books come to life. This is comic books come to life in a post MCU world that I am just blown away by the amount of cameos, the amount of references, the amount of doubling down on Wong as a character. We've joked about the Wong CU and all this stuff, but like, we're getting so much of him and they're using him well. And it feels like the same Wong that we know. Sure, slightly toned differently. This is a comedy show, whereas most of the Marvel movies are action first, comedy second. This is the flip of that. But this is Wong. You know, it's not like a variant of Wong or something. This very
we
much
saw him
feels
listen to Beyonce, right? Like, we understand exactly, that he can exist in our world and be funny, even if he's not being ha-ha funny.
And with all the things of like this not leading to Quantumania or whatever, it's like, I don't know, man. This show is delivering so much to me. Like, this show, not only are they doing the jokes of like, oh, Wong's giving me Twitter armor and all that stuff. These episodes are chock full of Easter eggs and theory stuff. They're speaking directly to the people like me that break down and watch the shit and like look at frame by frame things like Mephisto, y'all. They're doubling down, making jokes and references about the Satan demonic Mephisto shit in this that people were theorizing about WandaVision. It's like, come the fuck on, man. This is like so
made for me. I had to give a goat six drops of blood, and I'm not allowed to say.
Come on, man. It's like, I love it. And it's like, it's not only, now that we're four episodes in, when we're talking about episodes, I think one and even up to two, I was saying like, the show is really unique because a lot of the things that we enjoy the most are just them referencing things that we know. Yeah. And it's like, but no, specifically about the MCU. And it's like, that's the joke. And a lot of the times people would be like, oh, the member berry stuff, like that's so 2010, like, get over it. This is different because it's referencing text that we hold sacred and that we are so invested in and that they keep delivering to us so well. But I feel like we're now at a point that the meta-ness of how they're working with this show, I think, is a lot better than I had given it credit for. I'd already been giving it a lot of credit, but I understand why they gave these four episodes for critics to review, because I think that seeing all four of these really gives a good idea of what the show is. And now I totally understand like what every episode's going to be. And yeah, we're talking last week about the case of the week and how that all kind of plays into it and the potential downfalls, which there might be ones that don't hit as hard. You know, I think we can all agree that the case this week was more interesting than the case last week. But I don't think that the case last week was bad. And I have hope that next week can be even better than this potentially. But I think that four episodes in, the show has now proven to me that not only can it be consistently funny, that it can have a plot that is progressing episode to episode with an overarching narrative, it can have character development between things, and it can also function as standalone episodes with stories that are just one-off things. I love it. I love the Blomsky references. I love that Titania is just in the background and going to be a bigger thing. They are absolutely nailing this for me, and if they keep this up, I think the show is going to be very high-ranked for me.
Before I forget, I want to call out, I loved the scene when they were talking about you can't copyright magic or whatever, and Jennifer, they all do the thing, and Jennifer goes, oh my god, even the lawyer is a magician, because he was doing stupid shit. I was like, god damn, that's funny.
Man, I'll tell you what, my dyslexia is working overtime right now, looking through the IMDb and thinking of Titania and seeing Tatiana. Like, yeah. I just, every time I see those two names, I'm just constantly confused. But I will bring up my next point after a word from our sponsors.
Thank everybody. You, Andy.
Andy, that was magical.
Thank you. The next thing I wanted to the thing I wanted to sort of piggyback off of what Tim has been talking about is that like the reason why this show is so entertaining to me and why I enjoy it, and I've already stated and mentioned that it's just, I think the comedy writing is really, really damn good. But I feel like usually when the internet gets mad at like me or Nick or Kevin for maybe not liking a lot of these other shows, the idea is that just turn your brain off, dude. It doesn't have to like matter. It doesn't have like, just enjoy it for what it is. And like, this is, I can finally say that like, I am enjoying an MCU show for what it is. Like, I, and that sounds kind of like weird and like a convoluted way to say that, like, I think that this is just such a good standalone show on its own. And it's a show that doesn't have to have major ties. And sure, all of the Easter egg stuff that you're mentioning, Tim, like, I know that that's adding extra enjoyment for you. I haven't noticed shit, and that hasn't changed my enjoyment for this show, because it's like already just enjoyable on such a surface level for me. Greg, go ahead.
Sorry, if you have more to say, I shouldn't go in yet. You have more.
No,
to
no,
say.
No. I just, yeah, I was just pointing out that, like, I think we just get a, I think it's kind of, you open up the comment section, it's always like people getting mad at me. You're like, Andy, just fucking laugh, Andy, just fucking enjoy the show. But it's like, but I can't do that if I don't find those shows enjoyable. Like, you're telling me to just eat the food that you don't think is good and think that it's good. Well, I can't, because it's not good for me, or I just don't see it as an enjoyable thing. But this is just really, really damn entertaining, just on its own. Like, it doesn't need major ties in order for me to feel enjoyment out of it. Go ahead, Greg.
I was podcasting in my head, insulting the audience on your behalf, but it's too late. Yeah. My thing, you talk about Easter eggs and the stuff they're dropping in there. Sure. The guy on the date who's the specimen guy, Tim, is he going to be one of the people who jumped her with the stuff, or is he a bigger, just somebody else who's trying to figure it out? Because I really enjoyed the rundown of her powers, calling her a specimen, talking about was impenetrable. What about vibranium? It definitely seemed like they're going to come back to that, of him being a villain in some way.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be one of the Wrecking Crew, but my boy MT from New Rockstars tweeted today saying that his theory is that it's going to be the leader's brother, the leader being the guy with the big head from Incredible Hulk.
From Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? We remember.
And in the comics, yeah, exactly. Oh. There is a brother that ends up being called the Madman, who is obsessed with the Hulk and like calls him his bastard and things like that. So I feel like they might be built to that. They might not.
It might have just been a nice Easter egg reference in there.
There is a lot of things in this that are like close, but not quite. So it might just be like a, if you know, you know, kind of like homage is less than building to something. Like Donnie Blaze is not Johnny Blaze, which is Ghost Rider, but it's close. But like, this guy's just like a fraud magician. So it's like kind of like a weird thing that I don't know what they're doing. But like, Marvel doesn't make name choices like that without a purpose. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Unless it's Ralph Boner. But we can just pretend that didn't happen. Fucking, you know,
goddamn bullshit.
Goddamn. I'll never forgive them for that.
Do we think that Abomination comes back in this show, or is he?
Oh yeah,
is his part done? Okay.
Oh yeah, I mean, they reference him again in this episode. Like, I think he comes back.
They also talk about Hulk, and it's like, I have no idea if he's coming back in the show either. I'm perfectly fine with them not coming back. I just think it's interesting being like, oh, like these people could come back. We still haven't seen Daredevil, and like, there's a lot of things coming back potentially.
Oh shit, about Daredevil.
Like, that's the thing, we still haven't seen Daredevil. My thing is, I think that we have to get Hulk back, because like, I'm saying Easter eggs. I feel like Easter eggs isn't even the right term for this. It's like the Sakaar spaceship stuff, that's not an Easter egg, that's plot points. Like, they are building to giant plot stuff that could potentially have major ramifications in upcoming movies and stuff. And like, they're doing it. It's not, oh, they might do it. It's like, they are doing it.
It's like in the intro of an episode when you see the cast list pop up, like as they're like talking through the beginning of it, and you'll see, and also starring Mark Ruffalo. And it's like, yeah, he's not a cameo. He's just kind of like here to further. Yeah. It's not like, did you notice Mark Ruffalo? Yeah. It's like, he's actually a part of the story.
The one thing I was thinking about is there's at least one scene of Bruce Banner that was in the trailer that we haven't seen yet. And I don't understand the context of if it's going to be in the show, maybe it doesn't make the final cut. But remember in the first She-Hulk trailer, there was like one weird shot where they were both looking at the camera and they were in like 70s outfits. And she was like, you wouldn't like us when we're angry.
I don't.
Oh, it seems like they're like filming a commercial or something.
Yeah,
right?
It feels like a lawyer commercial for them. But they're both in human form. But like, they were dressed in weird outfits. But anyway, I don't know if that's going to be in the show. But to me, that means we are going to get more Banner.
Also, that's really interesting. I pointed out by Jenna Garcia, host of PS I Love You. She points out that
co-host,
you have to be at least 5'6" to date Jen in this show, Tatiana Maslany.
Sorry, Andy.
I mean, Well, I was just gonna say, like, that's such a like an average height, you know, 5'6", you know. And if you go above that, you're considered like above average, which is just an interesting thing to kind of think about, you know. Really interesting. You know, that's me analyzing the show, you know.
I appreciate it, Andy. I appreciate that.
I'm going deeper than the surface, Greg.
I love that.
Someone who's never thought about, you know, their height and since like eighth grade. I understand. I appreciate that perspective. It's one we keep you around for. You know,
of course.
What I mean? Lesson.
It's a lower perspective.
The old Tic Tacs. What do they got to say about this?
All right, calm down, you tall piece of shit. You know what I mean? The old Tic Tacs.
Talking about
that's a free art idea right there, everybody. Drop the Tic Tac and the container.
Don't waste your time with that.
Put things in too, right?
Make them all Tic Tacs and then make Greg Falcon. Fly it over them. The scene, the action scene that Greg's talking about, I also was surprised at the CG quality of it. And I'm with Eddie that it felt like noise in terms of like story and like plot and all that stuff. But I will say, and we talk about this a lot on the Marvel shows and the movies as well, that to me, an action scene doesn't necessarily need to like just progress the plot if the choreography's dope and engaging. And I thought they did a really good job with that with this one. I thought that they played with Wong's portal stuff really well, him knuckling up with the power fist with his one-liners and shit, taking one of the portals and turning it into like a lasso to like pull the demons in. I was like, I did not expect this level of action choreography in She-Hulk whatsoever. So the fact that they are at least doing that, I'm like, I'm more impressed with this than I was with some of the action scenes in Moon Knight. And like, that's saying something for what they're accomplishing, for what they're trying to do. But I do think that they were also trying to accomplish comedy there that didn't really hit for me. And like that is that one thing. It's always hard. The action comedy stuff, like you really, really, really gotta like know what you're doing. And I feel like they nailed aspects of it, but overall it wasn't my favorite thing.
Good show.
Really damn good show. Can't wait for more. Five
Megan
more episodes.
Megan Thee Stallion got snapped. I've been thinking about this all week.
No, we talked about it last week, Joe. I don't think she did. Because I think
we don't have any proof, though, right?
I don't think she would have been able to build a career if she hadn't been snapped.
Yeah, imagine she takes 5 years off. Yeah, it's not going to happen.
Because that's the thing, you know, body, when to come out. If we're dealing with real world logic there, it was during the blip.
Was it?
Yeah, 2020.
I guess I forget about where the blip happened in terms
of... Yeah, they're also in an advanced timeline. Because like this show is like in 2024, right? Or 2025 or something like that.
Yeah, you know, I actually don't know.
I feel like everything's always like 2 years ahead.
This must be... Right? It must be past, at the very least, April 2024. Because that's when Shang-Chi happened. And Abomination's cage fight thing. So...
It's like more advanced than when sports games come out. I'll tell you what, man, young Andy, 10-year-old Andy, when I'd see that like Madden 98 was coming out, I'd be like, well, what? It's 1997. How are we getting that? I was so confused by that shit, dude. So confused.
That is fantastic. Let us know in the comments below if dates ever confused you. Mm-hmm. We'll be back later this week with Lord of the Rings. We already did Game of Thrones a couple days ago, so check all that out wherever you find the screencast. And then next week we'll return with She-Hulk. But like I said, stay tuned to twitter.com/kindoffunnyvids for all the updates on how we're going to cover D23 this weekend, trailer drops, all that fun stuff. But until next time, I love you all. Goodbye.